Well, Jesus is a river of love, and he flows from heaven above. Well, he'll take every sin that you have and wash it away. Away. You just jump in the water today. You won't drown if you learn to pray. Oh, my Jesus is a river of love, and he's flowing your way. There's a river flowing out from heaven's sea, yeah. And there's a river reaching out for you and me. Streams of living water as clear as they can be. So won't you come on in, the water's fine, and it'll set you free. Well, Jesus is a river of love, and he flows from heaven above. Well, he'll take every sin that you have and wash it away. Away. You just jump in the water today. You won't drown if you learn to pray. Oh, my Jesus is a river of love, and he's flowing your way. So now, if you need a cleansing, children, don't delay, no. There's a mighty river flowing here today. And he'll wash and make you as clean as you can be. So won't you come on in, the water's fine, and he'll set you free. Jesus is a river of love, and it flows from heaven above. He'll take every sin. And now it sounds like camp meeting. I like it.
He's gonna wash it away.
Oh, you just jump in the water today. You won't drown if you learn to pray. Oh, my Jesus is a river of love, and he's flowing your way. All right, now, for about 10 seconds, just clap your hands unto the Lord. If we don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. Well, Jesus is a river of love, and he flows from heaven above. And he'll take every sin that you have and wash it away. You just jump in the water today. You won't drown if you learn to pray. Oh, my Jesus is a river of love, and he's flowing your way. You just jump in the water today. You won't drown if you learn to pray. Oh, my Jesus is a river of love, and he's flowing your way. Flowing your way. Oh, my Jesus is a river of love, and he's flowing your way. That he's flowing your way.
Good evening. I love clapping to songs, but it's the only thing I can do. If I try to do anything else, it's over. I can't clap and sing, I can't clap and think. And as soon as you stopped clapping, I was off. It's like, okay, well, there goes that. Anybody else like that? I gotta find other set of hands somewhere near me that's actually doing it correctly for me to even come close. All right, we have got to stop and acknowledge Camp Royalty that came today. Let's all welcome Lee and Paula Christ. We missed you last year, but we are so glad that you are here with us today. Your spirit just changes the feel of the campgrounds, just your presence being here. So thank you. Now, I understand that we have, oh, perfect timing. We have a couple birthdays today. We have a couple birthdays. Miss Harriet has a birthday. When I asked her about it, she said, I'll stay 29. I know I'm supposed to turn 30, but I'm going to stay 29. Miss Janice agreed. It is her birthday as well. Let's sing happy birthday to these wonderful ladies. I'm not going to do it, but he is.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
All right, some real fast announcements, and then we'll get going with the service. Tonight is a meet and greet time for our missionary teams. They'll be over in the cafeteria. They have some nice desserts from the fields that they've been on to share with you. And so after the service, if you'll head up to the cafeteria, they'll be up there where you can meet them and greet them, talk with them, ask them questions, and try some of the yummy snacks that they have up that way. And then on Monday, what do we have on Monday?
Missionary Day.
I am looking forward to all the testimonies and all the words that we're going to get from our missionaries. Tomorrow is Sunday service and Sunday lunch. How many of you are really honestly looking forward to Sunday lunch? That fried chicken. I can smell it now, actually. And then I'll smell it for the rest of Sunday until I change clothes. But in the middle of all that, we have board meeting at 1:30. We'll be up in the children's room again that is decorated all in Christmas. And so it's nice and cool in there. And we'll have board meeting in there at 1:30. The Potter's House in our evening service will be performing and doing some testimonies for us like every year. And I would encourage you to come over to the table and look at the shirts and stuff that they have over here at the table to donate to the Potter's House. There's a QR code right here. And the ladies have, not only have they come before camp to serve, but they have been serving throughout camp, serving your drinks and getting the cafeteria prepared. Can we just show how much we appreciate the Potter's House? And then we'll have Sunday evening service. After Sunday evening service, we'll have a Sunday social up in the cafeteria where we'll have ice cream and Sunday fixings and all of that great stuff. Remember, after service, the bookstore will be open. Remember to stop by there and look around and see what goodies you can find. And if you have not registered with the office, make sure you stop by and take care of that. Now, we have another special guest with us today. Today is OCU Day, where we celebrate our partnership with Ohio Christian University. And so please welcome to the stage to give us an update on Ohio Christian University, the brand new president, Reverend Artie Saunders.
Hello, Artie. Happy to. Thank you. Well, hello, friends. It's great to see each of you and to be back at Taylor County Camp Meeting. It was a very warm summer in 1985. My wife and I and another gentleman who was singing at a local holiness camp not too far away from here over in Lizella. We finished up and Doug Carter said, why don't you guys come over to Taylor County? And of course, we had been in camp all week. It wasn't like we hadn't had the South Georgia camp experience, you know, but he said, there's just something special about this place. And boy, soon as we showed up, he couldn't have been more accurate. It was something that stuck with us. And years later, when Shelley and I had the opportunity to come back and serve here on the team at Taylor County, it was a great blessing. And who would have ever imagined that I would come back one day as the president now of Ohio Christian University? And someone said, you know, what would your life be if you hadn't had Doug Carter in your life? Well, you know what? That's probably true for a lot of us here. That's probably true for, in some way, each and every one of us, that our life was made better because Doug and Winnie Carter were in our life. But honestly, I think people could make a case that I don't know if I'd have had a life at all if it hadn't been for Doug. I mean, he recruited me to Ohio Christian University. I met my wife, so obviously I thank him for that. Because of her, I have two wonderful sons. I got to thank him for that. And then I had a career in ministry because of Doug, because he prepared me well. And then I got to go to Equip and follow him at Equip, which was actually rather stupid, I think, of me, to try to follow Doug Carter anywhere. And then
I became the president of Ohio Christian University, where he served as president. And I'm thinking, if I get a call from an Indian school in Phoenix, I probably have to consider it now. So what a gift it's been to just spend all these years with Doug and Winnie Carter. And I know I don't have to tell this audience about them. And now to serve in this role, well, to say it's challenging, well, that would be an understatement. There's not a college president today that doesn't have sleepless nights and wonder how in the world they're going to figure it out. Do you know that since 2020, 26 Christian universities, small Christian universities, have closed or merged with other universities because they just could not survive? 26. And think about all the lives that a university touches and the loss of that impact and influence in the world. And so when I took on this role, Ohio Christian University hadn't really seen very many good days in their history recently. In the past, wonderful days, but it's been a really challenging 7-8 years for the university. And so I come along, I'm absolutely convinced God called me there, and I don't believe he's ever called me to any role that isn't supposed to just take off and have something wonderful happen. And of course, we're working towards that, but sometimes when you arrive and something's been trending negatively, you got to ride that negativity a little bit before you can stop the pendulum and get it swinging back the other way. And I want you to know, the pendulum has already started to swing back. I am disappointed, though, in us not being able to serve Taylor County Camp better than we have been this year. And boy, I do apologize for that, but we're working on it, and the best days are ahead. We have seen so many things. First of all, I was told, by the way, we're out of money at the end of May. And I said, oh my, May this year. They said, yeah, this year. I said, I don't know what to do, but I know God's called me here, and somehow we're going to find a way. Do you know, it's now June, I'm still the president, and we ended up the month of June $150,000 ahead. So you do the math. You're supposed to be in a $1.5 million hole at the end of May, and instead, 1 month later, you're 100, that's like almost $2 million in blessing, in transformation, in God's favor that we've seen. I keep thinking we need people to go out and fish and see if they can find money in the mouth of the fish after this. To see what God has done is the greatest sign that the golden era of the university lies ahead of us, not behind us. And there's a great reason for all of us to believe this. You see, at Ohio Christian University, there's a lot of Christian universities that are struggling to figure out, you know, what a man or a woman is. Literally. Battling this. There are a lot of universities that haven't decided if God's word is infallible. There are a lot of universities where the professors are not sure they believe in holiness. There are a lot of universities where the students are fighting with the university about all kinds of matters in the political realm. But none of these things are true at Ohio Christian University. And I might add, that our university is not only committed to holiness, not only committed to a conservative view of God's word, not only committed to doing everything we can to rescue the perishing and care for the dying and reach young men and women for Christ and start a revolution, of transformation in the world. Our university is committed to being right, but also not just being satisfied with being right. We've got to be effective. We've got to be transformational. We've got to be people who know their times and know what to do. We've got to be oaks of righteousness. This is the vision and the calling that God has given me at OCU. So, sorry, got a little bit excited. Hopefully that's okay around these parts still. I remember it was. And I'm believing under Brother Bosworth it still is. So we're excited about the future. I want you to know we're going to be back in action at Taylor County Camp Meeting, better and bigger and stronger than ever. Thank you for being with us. I just want to ask you to do three things. Number one, would you put us on your prayer list? Because if we can see people praying for Christian universities, we won't be one of those statistics that others are a part of closing. Secondly, we need students. We need young men and women who want to do something with their life. But it doesn't even have to be young. In fact, breathing is probably the number one requirement. But of course, Social Security, you know, that worked out for some folks not breathing. Maybe we can figure out a way to work this out with recruitment too. Whatever it takes, we got to build the university. So we need students of any age, especially men and women called to ministry. And lastly, of course, we need resources. And as I've just illustrated, it is unbelievably expensive to run a university these days. But God is helping us. And your kindness and your generosity and your faithfulness to us, we're just not worthy. And we thank you for it. And we're so excited about what God's going to do. Brother Wayne, thank you for the invitation. Thank you for your kindness, all of you, today. And thank you for your belief in Ohio Christian University. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the rich heritage of people who've believed in this university over the years, people who've supported it by sending students or by praying or by sending resources. We truly, Lord, thank you for the incredible camp that you've built here. Thank you for those that envisioned it. I think of Brother Wood and his impact over the years, and many, many people, not just people like Doug and Wayne, Brother Chris, and others that have been here as president, but those who've helped them and served alongside of them, those who've given in the offering, those who worked with the kids, those who took care of the rooms or mowed the grass or looked after the kitchen or any part of this camp, Lord, thank you for those precious folks. If anything, it made a difference in the lives of the kids that this camp touched, but it certainly made a difference in these wonderful services. Father, today, we pray for the camp. We pray for the resources the camp needs. We pray for the impact the camp's going to make through missions and has always made. And Lord, we certainly pray for these altars to be filled with seekers. Lord, be with Brother Jay as he preaches, Brother Brian as he sings, Brother Wayne as he leads. But in the end, oh, Holy Spirit, would you come? We need you today. Our university needs you. Our camp needs you. Our country needs you. Lord, there is no elected official that is more needed tonight than God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit in our country. And Lord, thank you for the many good things you've done. But Lord, I pray for a revival in this nation. God, something that people can point to that only you can do. And Lord, may this camp, and may our university and all the universities represented at Taylor County be leading the way with young men and women called to ministry who are transforming the world. In Christ's name, amen.
Would you stand to your feet, please? You're ready to worship. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have life in my soul, for it's long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart, floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart, came into my heart. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Sing it, church.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my soul shall ever.
Sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. We're singing about him.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more.
I hope this is your prayer. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and I am yours, Lord, oh, I am yours, set apart for you. I am yours, hungry for your truth. Take my life, you are all I adore, because I am yours. Most important verse of all. Take my will and make it. No longer mine. Take my heart. It is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Sing it to him, Lord. I am yours, set apart for you. sing it to him. I am yours. I am yours. One last time. I am yours. Hallelujah, brother. Please be seated.
I've debated what to say next, whether or not to say, but I feel led to say it. How many of you were here for the 11 o'clock service? I hope, I pray, you did not leave that service and miss what was before you and who was with you in that moment. Brother Jay, I didn't even go to lunch. I went straight to my room, and I got down on my knees at my bed. Have you ever had to surrender something that was good? I've recently had to do that. It made me mad. I didn't want to. Because what it was I had to surrender brought me joy. So I had to go seeking for it again tonight, today. Let me read this to you. Revelation 12 says this. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sister who accuses them before God day and night has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. We have victory. It's promised we have victory. You guys don't like that idea, okay? Let me try that again. We have victory. Amen. Because the enemy has been hurled down, not just from heaven. But it says in his word that there will be a time where every knee will bow and every tongue confess. So, Brother Jay, it says in this that they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. And it got me thinking about what Dr. Carter said to you, that you have a story to share. And I really think that in those 10 weeks, though it was probably bumpy, as you've testified, you saw after the blood of the Lamb. And I think what we've witnessed coming from you is the word of your testimony coming together with the blood of the Lamb and bringing about overcoming. And it's not just for you. We all sit here and watched it too. We went to the altar too. We went to the foot of our bed too. When those two things combine, the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, it changes the person who's given the testimony and it changes the person who's hearing the testimony, and both overcome victoriously over evil. Don't miss what's happening this week. The sermon that we saw at 11 o'clock was raw and it was real and it was true. My wife caught me on the bed, and she was like, what are you doing? You okay? I said, Callie, I don't know what I just saw. Because I witnessed something special up here on the stage. And it was the combining of those two ideas. how joy and sorrow can coexist. It's only through the hope of Jesus Christ. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony, can anyone in here testify? And you'll find victory when you mix those two. Let's get the ushers to come forward. I know that's a weird transition. There's something that also is powerful when money and ministry, I don't know how to transition that, but you know, I'm trying. No, really, we give this offering. I don't want your tithe. That goes to your local church. We want your offering. Because he takes that offering and he makes this camp meeting happen. We minister to kids, we minister to teens, we minister to adults. We come to the altar, we surrender. We draw near to Christ, we lift high his name. And all of that cost, the air conditioners that you've enjoyed, your meals, we have a budget. And it's not paid for. We haven't paid for this year's camp. We never pay, I don't know if there's ever been. But not that I can remember ever since being on the board. We're not ready for the year after, during the year. That always comes as camp meeting comes. So we don't have like $3 billion in the bank. We have a budget. And we've got to pay that budget in order to continue to meet here. And not just to meet here, but to continue the legacy of Taylor County Camp. This isn't just a camp meeting. This is a legacy of holiness that reaches the entire world. Amen. Amen. Brother Bobby, will you pray for the offering this evening?
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray, come Jesus, come, let today be the day. And sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on to a hope that won't fade. Come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return to heal every hurt and right every wrong. This world isn't home. Come, Jesus, come. There will be no wars, and there'll be no chains when Jesus comes. Let today be the day. Now he'll come for the weak and the strong just the same, but all will believe in the power of his name. Come, Jesus, come. To heal every hurt and right every wrong.
Jesus, come, Lord, come. Come, Jesus, come. One day he'll come, and we'll stand face to face. Come and lay it all down, 'cause it might be today. The time is right now. You see, there's no need to wait, 'cause your past will be washed, washed in rivers of grace. Come, Jesus, come. Right every wrong, right every wrong. We need you right now. Come and turn this around. Deep down I know all this world isn't home. So come, Jesus, come, Lord, come. Come, Jesus, come, Lord. Jesus, come, Lord, come, come, Jesus,
Thank you, Brother Brian. Wow. That song holds special meaning for us. Unique. I invite you, if you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to Ephesians chapter 3 this evening. And I'll excite you. You ready to be excited about the Word of God? Okay. Lord, that, I didn't expect that response. That's the only verse of Scripture tonight, all right? Is that great? I mean, I've been averaging about 8 or 10, and my notes were all over the place at 11 o'clock, and trying to hold it down with my elbow and hold a microphone, and so far the mic is working. Thank the Lord over my soul. And I'm strong about belief. I'm going to believe it's going to keep working. There's probably skeptics in the room that said you shouldn't have said it. It'll be okay. What a great day. I don't even know where to begin, Brother Wayne, what you shared. I don't know if I can get it out, but I made a... And that's the manifestation of what I'm fixing to say, is I made a promise to the Lord that I didn't ever want to be seen again. For some people, that wouldn't mean anything. But for some people that have ever stood in a place like this, you know what that means. And it's what's really great is all the things you were sharing, what was going on, I had no idea how that was tied to the sermon. For the pastors and preachers in the room, you know what I'm talking about. That God takes it and multiplies it. All he needs is us. And I would say that for everybody in the room. You might think you're insignificant. But I have a testimony as a parent that I saw a child, my child, touch lives that I never knew were touched. I could stand and talk all day about that, but some of that has to do. Mallory came to me her last year in undergraduate at Mississippi College, and she said, Daddy, the Lord has put something on my heart, and I want to ask you about it. She said our chaplain position in there, it's like a sorority, but at Mississippi College, they call them tribes. They stay away from sororities and fraternities, those names. And the tribe she was in, they have a chaplain position. And she said, the girl the last year before us, she didn't put much effort in. It was almost, and she wasn't dogging the girl. She said, it just wasn't good. And she said, the Lord's put it on my heart to be the chaplain of our group. My first thing I said to her, I said, hold on now, let me tell you something, because I love my daughter. I said, let me tell you what happens when you start sharing God's word with people. They forget it's God's word. And they forget what you shared. All they know is it came out of your mouth. And it's real easy. I really, women, please don't be offended. I had this vision of 25 or 30 or 40 girls, young ladies, mad at her. And I thought, oh my gosh, I couldn't do that. I'd end up getting in all kind of legal trouble over that one. But I said, well, just make sure. And she said, Daddy, I am sure. God's already put it on my heart. I said, well, you get after it. I had people come through the receiving line, hug her neck. Had one girl stopped and said, can I pray for y'all? Put her arm around Suzanne and me and prayed over us. At least half a dozen of those girls have said, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ because of your daughter. We saw it all the way from middle school. She has a group of high school friends that said, since they got out of school, they would have conversation on social platforms, and they would say things like, what would Mallory do? I remember thinking, wait a second, the bracelet said, what would Jesus do? But in her life, it was one and the same. And I'm not saying I'm not making it go because she's in heaven. That's what she lived. So out of that, Lord, what do you want to do? I've had to get it right because I wanted to impress. God doesn't want us to impress you with me. He wants you to come face to face with Christ. So I've had to nail that stuff to the tree. And as I come to mind in weeks and months and years from now, whatever God does with all of this, you just pray for that. We failed if you see us tonight. We failed if you see what's going on in our family. And I'm going to talk a lot about it tonight. I really, right up until we came, all afternoon, I was debating two different directions. And finally got some sense of peace. There's a story, some of you blown away, you'll think, man, how many of these stories does he have? Many of you would know that we went through a traumatic thing in our family a little over 3 years ago that was bad enough. And I want to share some of that with you because I think it applies to all of us here. We live in a day and age where I just read the other day, if I named a name, probably 80% of the people in the room would know this person as a minister of the gospel who's well-known worldwide and yet believes there are no common day miracles happening by the hand of God. They believe all the miracles that God did stopped at the first century just to get everybody's attention. Well, I'm here to tell you, not just in an abstract way, I'm here to tell you, I'm just going to share a few with you, that I've seen God's hand do miracles, and you'll hear some of them tonight, that only God could have done it. It was not coincidence. It was not just the stars lined up. It was a God that people prayed and believed in God. Now I have to work through that. God spared my son's life because the prayers of the righteous, but he took my daughter. I know where she is. She's perfected. So in walking through all this, why does God do it? In some situations, exactly what we ask for, and then other times, God doesn't. Well, I got a great answer for you. You're going to love this. This is really deep. This is all of my training is into this because he's God. But tonight I want to share with you that. And before I have you stand for the scripture, I want to tell you a story. I was preaching a revival in South Georgia many years ago. 20-something years ago, to be exact. It was just like this setting. The sanctuary is very small. The church was a relocating kind of thing, and they were barring a church. We're having these revival services, and this particular night I preached on this subject. I preached on miracles, and I had it all together, R.D. I talked about the earth. I talked about the human body. We're fixing to be grandparents in a few months, and I remember reading this years ago that a child from the time of conception to the time it's born goes through approximately 11 million changes. Brother Doug, after your teaching the last couple of days, we just say only God. Only God could pull that off, by the way. And I think somebody's idiotic to think that it can happen any other way. But what happens is it's amazing. I preached this sermon on miracles, and of course, just like we'll do tonight, we had an invitation. You come and have your time with God. And I'll tell you something customary for me. We started at Bethel Church a long time ago. I don't pray with many women. I don't. I had some bad experiences at the altar with them, okay? Don't think that too far, all right? I'll make you laugh afterwards if you want to know the story. But I decided that's not the best policy. I got to raise up some women that'll come to the altar and pray with women, and I'll pray with men if God lays on my heart. And if you notice this week, I haven't gone down and prayed, and I have some a niece here. She comes to the altar tonight. I'll pray with her, okay? Just know that. But there's exceptions. But so this girl, she was about my age. She came down to the altar. Young lady, she was in her 20s, probably maybe 30. I don't remember. She came down to the altar. I knew her from summer camp. I knew her from her church. I had been in revival with them before. She came down to the altar. And she was, when I was right here, she was to my left. And when she got to the altar, I knew her family, her mother came and knelt beside her. And as they were there, both of them were weeping uncontrollably. Finally, I noticed, I said, I just went down. I don't remember. I don't think God said, go pray with her. But I felt the urge as a pastor, let me just go down. They were really, I mean, weeping. So I go down and I call her by name and I said, what's going on? And she says, Jay, I can't have children. My husband and I have been to the doctor. He called him by his name and said, we've been to the doctor. They've said it's not possible. And she said, I was sitting back there while you were preaching, and God said to me, do you believe me that I can do something they say can't be done? And she came down to the altar. I called her by name, and I said, well, let's pray. And I don't have the gift, as it talks about. I've never professed that. I've seen God do unique things through the days, believing on him, simple little things too. That's another part of my journey I'm on is how much are you going to believe me? You remember I told that. So I pray with her, and I'm going to tell you something. People say, oh, no, here we go. But while we prayed, something happened. That's all I can tell you. I didn't feel lightning bolts or anything like that. I didn't hear angels sing, but something happened. I knew we had touched God. I don't know to what extent. I didn't know. We got it from the altar, and that was basically it. The revival finished. I came back home to Butler, Georgia. 3 months go by, I get a call from her family. So we just wanted you to know today we found out that she's pregnant. I said, how about that? I don't know if it was a month or 2 months later, I got another call from them and said, we just wanted you to know we found out she's having twins. True story now, not a preacher story. And you know, there's just something about me that when God gets a hold of, he just does a little extra, Wayne. You know what I'm talking about? I just felt that. Today I can go on Facebook and show you pictures of two young ladies in their 20s. One of them's married and has a child, and the other one I think is fixing to get married. Beautiful, beautiful girls that take me all the way back to a revival that reminds me that God is still a miracle-working God. I don't know why he chooses to do some and not to do all. I don't know God's will. I don't know why Zane was left here. He'll be here tomorrow night, by the way. And Mallory was chosen to go the way it occurred. But I want to share with you that tonight. I wonder, her name's Misty. I wonder if we have any Misties in the room tonight. I wonder if the God of the universe, and he can do this very easily, by the way, if he can create something from nothing, Brother Doug said yesterday morning, reminded us of that. I want to remind you that God can line up the stars and bring the right person to sit on the right pew and hear the right word and believe God for something that somebody says it can't be done. I know this, the greatest miracles, before I have you stand so that you don't get caught up in just the physical miracle stuff, the greatest miracle that we will ever experience is God can take a sinner who's on their way to a devil's hell and through the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus can redeem us and we can become like him. And then it starts that process that we're talking about in Bible study every morning. Understand what we're talking about here. I'm not just settling for a physical miracle because physical miracles will end. But God is able to do something in our life that will last forever. Amen? If you're able, will you stand in honor of God's word? That's so great to preach for like 15 minutes and it's just not even introduction. It's just before the scripture. Doug Carter's rubbing off on me. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, I pray that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory. Listen, to be strengthened with power in your inner being through his spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. How about that? What is the length and width and height and depth of God's love? And to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all of fullness of God. Watch this. Now to him, this is my life verse, now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in who? Within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. We thank you, Lord. Would you use us, we pray, in such a way, God, that not one person would leave this building and not have a personal face-to-face encounter with you. And God, maybe for your impartation, maybe in a unique way, Spirit of God, you want to do something for someone here tonight. Maybe even others say it can't be done. Whether it's redemption, whether it's reclaiming, whether it's forgiveness, or Lord, in rarity, even if it's a physical or an emotional, God, a miracle that we need, that God, you would change our course and change our path tonight because we have an encounter with you. And God, we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. It was a day like no other day. January the 8th, 2022. Many of you remember that day. It's that call that you never want to get as a person, much less as a parent. And now that's happened twice in Suzanne and my life. Suzanne and I, on that day, just a few hours before Zane's accident, traffic accident here in Taylor County, we had the opportunity to talk to Zane on the phone. It was a phone call of 28 minutes. I went back and looked at it some time ago. He doesn't remember the phone call. He doesn't remember what we talked about, but we sure do. It's amazing how that happened just 5 hours later. The person that called me is in this building today. Family, if you will. Very much so. Let me tell you about the first miracle that happened that day. It wasn't just surviving. It wasn't just making the trip. But just a few days before that, Taylor County's all in this thing too, by the way. Just a few days before that, I'd had major ear surgery in Columbus, Georgia. Been gone from this area for 14 years, but I still have my ear doctor in Columbus. Haven't found one in Mississippi. The way I tell him is none of them out there know what they're doing. They're telling me to do stuff, different stuff than you said. I had come over and had ear surgery. We'd been laid up a few days here. A lot of story that goes with that. Zane stayed with us at night, so it's treasured stuff that we had. I'll tell you, my heartbeat is after it happened and we're in the hospital the first couple of days. Tell you how much faith I had, Brother Wayne, I thought he was going to pass away. I thought God allowed us to talk to him on the phone. God allowed him to be in the house with us that we were staying in here with Bobby and Elaine after my surgery, just recuperating. Zane was around a lot. I thought God is just blessing us to have some time with our son before he steps out into eternity. I've had lifelong ear trouble. So going through all of that, it was amazing what had happened. Now, we had just gone back to Mississippi. Had been there for 2 days when Zane's accident occurred. I was in a mess. I mean, it was bad. It was terrible pain. We were waiting for Abby, Kate, and Mallory to come home, and there was so much nervousness and so much unknown to all of it, waiting for that next phone call kind of thing. I remember I went outside the house, out on the driveway, and I was weeping. I was weeping out of grief. I was weeping out of all the emotion, but I was also hurting like nobody's business. I felt like an anvil, like just had just been beating on the side of my head. I knew Suzanne, she can't drive at night very well, and knew emotionally she couldn't. I couldn't put that responsibility on the girls to drive. I knew I had to drive, and I stood out in the yard, and I said to the Lord, you know I can't do this. You know the pain. Nothing would touch it. Every heartbeat I could feel inside of my head. If you ever had ear trouble, you know what I'm talking about. It was unbelievable. But I stood out in that yard and I asked the Lord. I remember looking up. My head hurt so bad. I said, oh God, if you just do something. I don't know if I can do this. First off, I'm a morning person. We were on the road from about 10:30 at night to 5 in the morning. We got to Macon, Georgia. About 2 hours in the trip, we had just come through Meridian, Mississippi. We were on the way to get off at the Cubex, if you know anything about Alabama and Mississippi, the state line right there. I remember all of a sudden, I don't know if we had said two sentences to each other for 2 hours, but right there, all of a sudden, I can almost remember where we were. We'd just gotten off the interstate, and nobody was really saying anything, and all of a sudden, in the darkness of that car, this thought went through my mind. I've been on the road for 2 hours, and my ear has not hurt one time. Not once. Not ache. Not I need to take some ibuprofen. Not it's a little better, none, like I'd never had surgery. It lasted all night. It was amazing. We get to the hospital. Not only was it terrible, but Zane also had COVID, so he was restricted. We could just look at, when we saw him, we could look in the glass and see him at the medical center there in Macon. We got through with that and seeing them, and we went back in the waiting room, and of course COVID, nobody knew what was going on. It was such a mess, and even still is in some people's minds, but politically for sure. But they came in, and it broke my heart that this girl had to do this. She said, "I hate to tell you this, but y'all got to go." So there we are. We're walking away from our baby, you know. But I respected them. They had a job to do. They had their responsibilities, so we got ready to go. If you've ever been to the Macon Medical Center on the, I think it's on the west side is where the main entrance is. And we walked out that main entrance. And when I got to the sidewalk, we parked over in the parking deck. And when my first foot, literally now, my first foot hit the pavement, the lanes there, the road to go across the street, when I did, the worst pain I've ever felt came across me in my ear. And I remember thinking, God did exactly what I asked him to do. Now, some of y'all don't know me from Adam, and that's probably a blessing in your life, okay? But you know what I thought? And I have some comedy about me. I think God gave it to me. I might run it the wrong path sometime. But you know what I thought, R.D.? I said, I didn't pray specifically enough. All I had to say to the Lord, Miss Carol, is, God, just take it forever. I just asked him to help me make it on the trip. So I didn't pray big enough. Maybe that's the best thing you'll hear in this encampment. It's amazing. But it continued. Many of you kept up with us. I can't even thank people enough for what they did. But 3 weeks went by. I read a bunch of the Facebook, Suzanne provided them for me today, and I read a bunch of the posts reminding myself, especially where we've been lately. They came to us. It was 3 weeks into it. And I can still see that young doctor's hand was shaking when we were in the visiting room. I didn't want to go in the consultation room because I've already been in there enough when I lived here. So no, we're not going in that room. We'll go where you visit, you know, in the other room. And he sat there and he finally got it out. He said, "I just need to tell you, y'all son is the sickest individual here." And I said, "Doc, what are we talking about?" He said, "By far, he is the worst patient we have on the trauma." And he said, "If something doesn't change tonight, then y'all are going to have to make some decisions tomorrow." Zane, and totally coded 4 times, he likes to embellish a lot. He's like his daddy. He tells people he died 7 times, but he only coded 4. One of those times, Suzanne and I were in the room. I tell people now with the situation with Mallory, I don't even know if I ever got over that. I don't know what God's doing. I can't fathom all of this sometimes. But he was in a mess. It was so bad that the next morning, knowing that we were going to the hospital to tell him to stop it, he was on 3 blood pressure medicines. He had an infection they couldn't get a hold of. It was all kind of issues they were having with him in those 3 weeks. And they said, "We got to have a decision in the morning." And I said, "I can't do that because my family, we're not all here." That next morning, we delayed going for a while. We were always punctual. We were always there when it's visitation time. That day, we were 1 hour and 15 minutes late. That stuck out to me. Many of you know Nathan Sanders. I think Nathan and Shantine will be here in a couple of days for a day or so. I talked to Nathan that morning. This is how serious it was. I said, "This is what's going to happen." I said, "We're going to have a funeral in Butler, Georgia. We're going to have another one at Lakeshore Church, and we're going to bury Zane in Salus, Mississippi." That's how bad it was, folks. I'm not telling you that for emotion. I'm telling you that that's where we were. That's how it was. That day we got there, and Suzanne and I walked down the hall. I'll never forget, if you've ever been to that heart hospital over there, the loose wing. They didn't build it square. It's built, the hallway has a turn to it. It's one of those things I'll never forget. And as we got there and got through security and we walked in the door, when we came around the corner and I knew where Zane's room was, there was doctors and nurses, and there was all kind of computers outside the door. They had little trays they ran their computers with to keep up with stuff. There were people all in Zane's room. And the first thought I had when we got there was, God's already spared us. Honestly, before the Lord, with all of my faith, I thought God has already taken Zane. That's the way it looked. We got there, we put on our cap and gown and all the gloves, all the stuff that we had to do because of his infection that he had. And when we got to the door, we just stood off to the side, and all the doctors and nurses and everyone seeing about him were around Zane's bed. And Dr. Ashley was the oldest doctor that was there. He had a cross on his lapel, and that led me to talk to him about a lot. And just a godly man. And And so I saw he was in the middle of it, and he was talking. Everybody had their mask on, of course, with COVID and with infection that he had. And we're standing off to the side. It's almost like a vision. We weren't even a part of it, and we're standing to the side. And all of a sudden, Dr. Ashley turns, and he, with his mask on, he sees us standing. We're probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 feet from him. And he said these words, "He's doing better." I don't know, and I told you I'm a little bit crazy anyway, but I don't know how many of you have seen The Green Mile, one of my favorite movies. I love how they depict it. If you go look how they made that movie, it's an amazing thing to make that guy look bigger than he was and all this stuff. But in The Green Mile, there's a saying in that movie that I thought about later on. When he turned to me, Dr. Ashley said, "We're doing better," knowing that where we are and what was fixing to happen, what we were fixing to say, and what I had, my life and my child in my hands. When he said, "We're doing better," through that mask, there's a line in The Green Mile that said, "His cheese has slipped off his cracker." It's in there. You can go look it up. I thought, standing right there, I thought, my cheese has slipped off my cracker. I thought, it's finally cracked. I'm done. I'm wanting to hear something. I'm so emotionally engaged that he said what I wanted to hear. And I said, "Sir?" He said, "We're doing better." I looked, and about that time, I could feel Suzanne. I thought she was fixing to break my knuckles on my hand. It's like we were looking at him with bewilderment. The night before, we had done a Facebook post, and I looked it up today to verify it. And I used the word dire, D-I-R-E. I said, "Folks, it's dire. What they're telling us, if nothing changes, then we're going places that we don't want to talk about as far as making decisions. And if you've ever prayed, I need you to pray." And I remember when he said that, later on, I began to process that, you know, we asked hundreds, who knows, thousands of people to lift up my son to the Lord. And God had a plan. We don't know what. I just had this conversation with Zane about 3 weeks ago. We still don't know what the plan is, Zane, but we got to be attentive to what God wants to do. And it can't be about us. It's got to be about him. And so all of a sudden, when he walks over to us and he greets us and he said, "Let me tell you what's happened." He said, "Something happened in the middle of the night." Do tell, as they would say. He said, "We just decided," Zane was on 3 blood pressure medicines. They said, "That's all we got," and his blood pressure is still plummeting. He said, "Somewhere in the night, something happened, and we just decided to take him off all of his blood pressure medicine." And from that moment, he began to tell us stuff, and within just a few days, even a day or two, we realized Zane's not going anywhere. And so we saw it. I saw God show up. No one could take credit for it. Later on, that doctor that told us the news and told us how it was going to be and what we were going to have to do, before we left there, I said, "Doc, we've come a long way." And he teared up and said, "We sure have. We sure have." So what happened is, I could tell you so many more things. It was like a miracle an hour, a miracle a day for several days. But I got to hurry and move on. But I want to tell you what happened. We realized Zane was going to live. My next burden was, what are we going to do with him? He's got to have rehabilitation. He had no movement. A little bit of involuntary movement on with his left arm. He could do very little. I said, "We got to do something." That morning, the house where we were staying in, I was praying. This sounds so spiritual. I wish you knew the real me. You would know that it's God and not me. But I asked the Lord, "I just need help. I don't know what to do." Our options were to let him go to Shepherd Spinal Clinic, which they have a brain rehab there. And I said, "We can't move. We can't go to Atlanta and do this again. Suzanne doesn't have many days left. I know my church loves me in Jackson, Mississippi, but I've been gone for 7 weeks. They love me, but not that much." You know what I'm talking about? I said, "I just can't stay over here forever." And I said, "Lord, I need help." I prayed that morning. You're talking about a miracle. I got a text on my phone. It was a 601 number. The head of nursing at the Methodist Rehab in Jackson, Mississippi. Well-known, phenomenal facility. She said, "You might not remember me, but you coached my son in baseball." Of course, I remembered her because her son's like a very good friend with Abby Kate. And she said, "My name's Terry Meadows, and I'm over nursing at Methodist Rehab, and we've heard the good news. It looks like Zane's going to make it. He's going to make it." And said, "If you need any help, if I can do anything for you, you call me." Well, I think I waited all of 30 minutes to call her and said, "Miss Terry, I need you." And within a week's time, do I see Terry and Lynn back there? I do. And Brenda Wade, we had a caravan. We loaded up. Did I miss somebody, Suzanne? Who did I say? Richie? What did I say wrong? Terry, I'm sorry. They're not married, guys. They're brother-in-laws. Hey, Richie, I'm almost 60, baby. You got to just remember that. Richie and Lynn. I said Terry and Lynn. That's great. It's finally caught up with me. Richie and Lynn, excuse me. Oh, I just messed it up. And Brenda Wade showed up at the hospital in Macon, and we put Zane in an RV that Richie and Lynn have, and we drove him to the Methodist rehab. Zane still sees today. He still goes every 3 months, 6 months, and sees a nurse practitioner at the rehab there. And when we walk up to the security desk, one day we walked up and we told him who it was, and he went, the guy sitting at the desk said, I remember you. You're the one that came in the RV. Zane said, yeah, I get that a lot. So we saw it. About 5 weeks later, Zane, who couldn't move but one arm when we left Macon, got out of his wheelchair and walked out the doors of the Methodist rehab in Jackson, Mississippi. Now, some would say, well, Brother Jay, what are you trying to tell us? That same God can operate in your life that way. But I want to make some observations to you. The first observation is this, and boy, I think I can speak well to this, and I alluded to it this morning in the area of joy. You have to be living right. You want to write this down. You have to be living right before calamity comes along. Let me tell you today why camp meeting is important. Why is this important? Because it's an opportunity to get right with God. So there's some kind of calamity coming in your life. Something bigger than you is coming into your life. You better have him up to date in your life before it gets here. Amen? That's what I found out. Amen. We're going through it again. I've said it publicly a couple of times on TV statewide in the state of Mississippi. I said these words. If I did not know Jesus, I would have already done something stupid in my life. If I didn't have any hope, if I didn't understand grace, if I didn't understand joy, if I didn't understand a fresh faith that I need to have in God that we've talked about recently here, if I didn't have all that, I would have already done something stupid. Because what else is there? But there is something else. There's a life after this life. Huh? God can sustain us. Paul called it temporary sufferings. I don't know if I like that terminology or not, where we presently are. But you got to have him. Listen, get this now. You have to have him in your life before it comes along. I don't know if you can find him after it comes along. I've got too much. I've got too many things I can reference now. A mom and dad passing away, my daughter passing away, my son going through this over 3 years ago. I think I can speak pretty plainly and pretty clearly that people think, oh, it's not important. If it comes along, I'll get it right then. I don't know if you can. I don't know if you can. So what I'm saying is today, why does the scripture say that? Listen, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to settle it. Today is the day to separate yourself unto the Lord. Because when it comes along, you need to be right with him when it comes along, not get it right after it gets there. Are you there? Lord, why did he start screaming and hollering? Maybe it's worth screaming and hollering about. Listen, think about it this way. Oh, it's amazing. You got to belong before. And you have to believe God during it. I don't think it's coincidental. I said it the first service here. I don't think it's coincidental that when I heard God speak to my heart, he said, Jay, you have to believe. You must believe. I need you to believe. When you're going through it, if you're going through it right now, I've had some that have shared stuff with me. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching with you. But if you're going through it right now, you must believe God. God did not bring you this far to let you down or let you go. You must believe God. If you have a relationship with him, God knows what's going on. As Brother Doug said it so beautifully today in the Bible study, God doesn't author sin, but he comes alongside of us and helps us in this sinful, dreadful world that we live in and provides grace and opportunity for us to live above it. Now listen to me. So you got to believe. You have to have him before, but you have to believe him during. And I don't know what somebody has going on here. You might have had a diagnosis and you've not told anybody. Maybe everybody knows you got it going on here. Maybe you don't fit. Maybe there's so many things in your life, there's so much water on the bridge that you've given up. You look the part, but in your heart, you're far from him. Well, here's what I want you to know. God has created an opportunity for you to re-enlist and renew and get back where you need to be. And then believe him while you go through it. Our staple saying right now of our life is, that's all I got is belief. That's all I got. And then last, and we'll end here. And then share something with you about a song, and then we're going to have an invitation. You also have to be a beacon afterwards. Brother Wayne, when you were sharing, I thought, man, God, you're just spot on. God, what do you want to do with all this? Would I give it all this stuff to somebody else in a minute? Yeah. I don't want to be the poster child. But somewhere you realize, you just go, okay, God. But you know what I know it is, Brother Wayne? It's not for people to see me, it's for people to see him. That's why I couldn't even hardly look at you while you were talking, because I thought, God, I know this is not of me. I don't want it to be of Jay. Just do what you want to do. But listen to me carefully. Don't miss this. God does allow things to come into our life so that we can be a light to other people. There's too many Bible stories. I debated to pull a Doug Carter on you and tell you about 15 Bible stories right now where God let people go through bad circumstances so that he could be glorified. He doesn't author them because we live in a fallen world, but he does allow them so that he can be glorified. I'm not going to try to say that again. I don't think it would come out any better. But you do have to be a beacon afterwards. 18 months after Zane left, after he left Methodist Rehab, I now have her in my phone. I got a text from Terry Meadows. You remember her, the head of nursing? She said, Brother Jay, if you have a minute, would you call me? I called her and she said, Brother Jay, I'm not even supposed to do this. I could get in trouble in my job. But she said, you came to mind and I got a favor I want to ask you. I said, Miss Terry, there are plenty of people that ask me to do something that I don't think I'm obligated. I said, but I don't care what you have for me to do. I owe you a debt I can't pay. Huh? All she did for us, getting us there. And she said, what is it? She said, there's a family that's here that's really going through it. And she said, I was just wondering, you came to mind. And she said, I was wondering, could you come see them? She'd already told me, I'm not supposed to do this. I'd get myself in trouble. But she said, your name keeps coming to mind. And I think they need to hear your story of hope and how God interceded and what he did. And she said, I wondered, could you come up here and see him? We set it up. That was early in the week. I went on a Wednesday morning. This lady had 3 or 4 children. They ended up having gone to school with my kids. It was amazing. And her husband was a doctor. They were on vacation, I want to say, in Ohio. They were standing on the right side of the street, and a FedEx truck hit her. They told me the story. One of the daughters was just crying, and she said, I was just standing there, and I turned my head, and I looked back, and Mama was gone. She had several neurological problems. She had a lot of issues. So I said, Miss Terry, I'll do it. Very apprehensive. When I pulled in the driveway of that rehabilitation place, stuff, emotions came back. I got the room number. Didn't register with me. True story, not a preacher story. I go up the elevator to the 5th floor. Same floor Zane was on. I walked down the hall. I'm fixing to knock on the door and go in the room, and all of a sudden I looked, and I went, you have got to be kidding me. The room was 507. Would you like to guess what Zane's room number was? This massive hospital. Now all of a sudden it's time to be a beacon. Who, having a light of God, puts it under a bushel? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. I knocked on the door, and it was sort of tough. The icebreakers were tough. A lot of emotion. I remember that same feeling. She was despondent. She had different brain injuries than Zane had. She never really made eye contact with me. She wasn't communicating at all. She wasn't saying anything. And I had a conversation just standing there. And that's when I found out that their kids, I didn't even know it, their kids had gone to school, my kids at school. It was amazing how they knew each other. One of the older daughters, the oldest child actually went to school with Abby Kate at Mississippi College, if I remember right. And she said, we even had Zane on our prayer list. We were praying for him when all that went on. And I thought, only the sovereignty of God. And before I left, I said, guys, I know this might be different. I don't know, you know, but could I have prayer? And they said, of course. And we prayed and kept up with them. When, by the time I got home, Abby Kate had already heard from her friend that she was in school with and how they appreciated it. A couple of days later, they said they walked in and the mama started talking to all the kids and calling them by name. And their miracles began. What am I telling you? Church, there's something, this thing about feed me, feed me, feed me. You got to get this now. Feed me, feed me, feed me. God, I need more. It's like us eating. If we eat a little bit more and don't do something for Christ, we ought to be ashamed. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, feed me, feed me, feed me. It's like we're at camp. But you know why God feeds us? Not so that we can harbor it. We're not called to be reservoirs. We're called to be conduits. And I believe it. So every story, I don't know what God's, I don't, and it boggles my mind to even imagine it. But that's what I know. Let me tell you one, just transition as we end today. Many of you from years past have heard Suzanne sing, and you know she sings very well. We don't do much singing anymore. I might sing at the end of a sermon or something, but Suzanne, when we were in that hospital with Zane, I didn't even really know the song. I probably listen to more contemporary music now than ever. But I would hear Suzanne sing. We created a playlist for Zane's room. We'd have music playing. And this is still pretty raw, even 3+ years afterwards. I would sit over in the corner with my robe on and with my gloves and my mask. And I would hear Suzanne singing by the bed of Zane. And it just, I mean, would melt me like a, I mean, just tear me up. And I kept listening to one of the songs. She sang it over and over and over. And I don't know. I speculate that Zane's here today because thousands of people prayed for God to spare his life. We weren't given that opportunity for Mallory, and I'll just leave that for another time. I got to believe that. The trail is before us. We see the path. I don't know why, but what I do know, from time to time in your life, all you got is Jesus. The sweetest name I know. At the name of Jesus, everything changes. I've just completed the last few weeks reading the New Testament. You know what I noticed? Demons know who he is. Right before Jesus would do a miracle, somebody would be demon-possessed. The demon would speak to him. Those folks that were chasing the apostles around and the disciples around, and when they'd had enough of it, the demons always spoke to who Jesus was. Isn't it high time for the church to be reacquainted with who Jesus is? That he is able to do exceeding abundantly more than we could ever ask or think of him, according to the power that works within us. So if you know Jesus tonight, it's in there. But you know what you need to do? You need to allow him to do his work. Wherever that is, I'm back to that again. Okay, Lord, I've done what I feel like you laid on my heart. And I've asked Brother Brian if he would tonight to sing I Speak Jesus. He's already done us in today because one of our songs that we hold too dearly is Come Jesus Come. But I know God's going to use this time. I'm going to let you remain seated, but listen to me. I don't know you. I might know a little something. I don't know enough. I wonder who here right now God has picked out this moment for you to believe him for a miracle. You're looking at one that there were times in my life I was very skeptical of miracles. I thought people just manipulated words and said things to sort of move us. Everything I've told you today has not been exaggerated one bit. I probably boiled it down some so it wouldn't sound like it was. God is able. Who here needs to believe God for a miracle? Maybe it's a miracle of salvation. Maybe it's a miracle of a second chance. Maybe it's a miracle of quit living where you've been living and God wants you to change. Maybe it's a miracle of a broken home. You clean up well, but you'll go your own separate ways when you leave here. You might still be living together. I got a couple right now in Lakeshore Church. I love her to death. Her husband never comes to church. They live in a massive house. And they literally live in two houses under one roof. They're divorced. They just don't have a piece of paper. Pray for them that God's going to do that. I don't know. So you need that? Whatever the miracle is, I want to remind you that God is able. How about drive down a stake tonight? God might do it tonight. As I said last time, he might take 3 days to fix it. But he wants you to believe and depend on him. All right? I speak Jesus. This altar time is yours. Please be obedient to the Lord if God's moved on your heart. I need a miracle, Lord. I need a miracle. I need a miracle.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety, to every soul held captive by depression. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Oh, Jesus, for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Can we do this? I'm fixing to pray, and you can remain at the altar. Please don't leave. It's a place of added grace. One of the things with me, I've tried to be sensitive to the Lord. And I just want to say this, if nobody moves, we'll go. Is anybody wrestling with it tonight? Just wrestling. There's a war going on within you and you won't turn it loose. I would love to speak Jesus over your situation. I know you might think the enemy says, oh, it's embarrassing if I get up. No. Oh, I've said it many times. I've thought it even more. I think God helped me to be embarrassed here so that I'm not embarrassed when I get over there. So we'll wait just a second. Would you bow your head? Is anyone here wrestling with it? You thought you had it made, and now the evangelist won't go a different direction. With everybody in the room, would you just consider that? Is there anybody here? All hearts and minds clear? I want to pray over us. Anyone today? Lord, you know it was an invitation just like that when I made a major decision in my life. And God, I thank you. I speak Jesus tonight over everything. I don't care, Lord, if it's physical, you're still in that business. If it's spiritual, you're still in that business. If it's emotional, you're still in that business. If it's relational, you're still in that business. And even, Brother R.D. reminded us, even financially, you're still in that business. God, I give you praise and glory tonight, but just speak your name. Everything changes. And God, I do pray for victory in this place. I bind the enemy that whatever you desire to do, we will not allow anything less than that. Slow us down if we're busy. Clear our mind if it's cloudy, so that we can tune in with you. I thank you. And I say publicly, you are able to do exceeding abundantly more than we could ever ask or think of you, according to the power that works within me and within us. I give you praise for what has occurred tonight. Would you seal it to our heart? This is not just an emotional move, an appeal, but God, it's a life-changing event. And bring it back to us even before we rest tonight. And we evaluate what you've done so that we can go forward and not regress. And God will give you the praise, for we ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. All right. The beloved president says, you're dismissed.